Excellent. Give a warm welcome to Leo Calva. Pastor Tom, and come and join us up here. Leo, here's you a microphone. It's so good. Are we live? You're live. Have a chair. So good to have you here.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Pastor Dave and Pastor Tom and Wood Village. It's we feel honoring to be coming with you.
Can you hear him okay? Where's another mic? Way up.
Hola.
Hello. I can always scare a mic into working. Leo, the pictures tell your story. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here thinking of, I know that you and your lovely wife Lulu met. You were in Texas, a mission trip. Came to McMinnville, Oregon, developed a great ministry there. And then you were the first World Venture missionary to go to Aloha. That's the Cliff Note version of your story. Okay, you just heard it. Now, what I'm thinking about is when you first went there, you said, I'm a church planter. And we got really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And I just saw all kinds of names up there of churches that you've planted in these how many years that you've been down there?
We're going to be 15 years this November.
15?
Yeah, 15. And actually next February is the anniversary of the church, 15th anniversary, the main church that we use as a hub in order to plant the other churches in the province.
And that's Mustard Seed Church.
Mustard Seed Church.
And we had a pretty fun part of helping that develop.
Amen. You have been... Hey, and we appreciate because your partnership has been through prayer to financially also. But sending teams has been great encouragement. So I see Jane and Pastor Tom and Teresa, all you came down there.
We've had what, three teams? Three or four?
Three teams.
I have a mental picture of Mustard Seed Church, and it had a lot of construction. And it was obviously far from finished, and it had a chain link fence around it because you were out of money and you had to stop.
Yes.
And we had a vacation Bible school project, and we raised $10,000, and somebody in the church matched it, and we sent you $20,000.
Amen.
That and you was... got the chain link fence off, and you went back to
Amen.
Work.
Amen. Yeah,
isn't that exciting?
Amen. That's the way how we build it. Because if we're expecting in South America to have all the money, that will be impossible. So now we are this Macara, one of the church planters. They have already a pastor, their own pastor. They are self-supporting their pastor, and they start building their own place. So they said, oh, we just have money for do the columns. And say, praise God. And the people say, why you praise God? Say, yeah, because we have to pray more when we don't have all the resources. So and we pray now how the Lord is going to do it, and he will provide.
So how many church plants do you have going at this point?
We have 15 places.
15?
15 places.
Wow.
Amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. And the pictures show you helping other areas when the earthquake was on the coast there.
Yeah, when the earthquake came 2 years ago, we responding, you know, we load two small trucks with food and water and all those things. But at the long way, we do two things. We start building small houses. In the beginning, we did one like a metal structure home. But later we did like buying these house kits from bamboo houses. Mm-hmm. They last maybe between 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. And in conjunction with other mission agencies, World Venture, SIM, and another mission agency from Europe, we did like 21 houses.
21 houses.
Wow. Amen. Mm-hmm. And after that, we have a program, it's a trauma healing. So that's going to encourage people to do not just, you know, the material possessions, but working through their hearts let Jesus really heal them. Hmm. One of the important things happened the first trip when we were over there. It's shaking again to 7.0, so it was very hard. But at the end of the week, I sat with the leader of the community, and I asked him what's their needs. So I was expecting water, electrical power, or something like that. And he started crying. He says, "We need a church here." Mm-hmm. So we connect with other church over there, and we sponsor it. They start a church. So that was a great blessing.
Wow, amazing. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about Lulu and the kids.
Our family has been growing, so that's great. Lulu is excellent, encouraging, very consistent with the school of the kids. So, and Pablo is going to MK classroom from SIM. And Janina, who came with us 2 years ago, she's going to the Ecuadorian school. And she now is catching up in everything. So we are very encouraging. And we delay our home assignment, should be this year, but we postpone one more year because there are two ways to get a visa. One was through adoption agency, but that was too expensive. So we wait for 2 years. In January, we're going to start the process, and hopefully next June, we will be here.
Next June,
mm-hmm. home assignment.
Excellent. So, Leo, we've had several groups from here come down and do work. And Pastor Tom and Jen were a part of one of those trips. Mm-hmm. Jane Murhar, more than that, quite a number. So I said to Tom, I want you to talk with Leo about two things. One, a little bit of the connection between the folks from here that have been down there. And also, they have memories of projects that they worked on. And he'll probably want to quiz you a little bit on what's happened since they've been there. So it's your turn.
2014. Mm-hmm. It was a little while ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
4 years ago, yeah. And actually, if you were on that team, and you're here, would you please stand? I'd like to see if you're here. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Is anybody here that was on one of the previous teams? You'd stand.
Jane's been on all the teams.
Jane was the leader, which is quite a bit of work. And you pastored us during that process, so that was good.
So do we call her Pastor Jane now?
Pastor Jane. You just told us, expect the unexpected. Be ready for anything, and that's exactly what happened. I think it was, we lost our luggage, first of all. And you took us to your home, and eventually we got that luggage. I think it was three days late, but that's okay. That were we our first day. But the first day we really did ministry, it was totally unexpected, but you had us go house to house spreading the gospel and evangelizing. Mm-hmm. You set us up with at least one person who spoke Spanish, and you just threw us into that fire. And I remember seeing the looks in everybody's eyes. So that was an amazing thing. Do you remember that?
I remember that. Actually, Jane was talking to me about that. And you know, because that's a place was in my heart like maybe 8 years ago. One day I was driving over there and I see too many people in the no evangelical church in that area. And now we have a church there. So we have in Loja City three churches, the main church in the south, mm-hmm. the south is north in the north part of the city, and the west church we call Occidental, that's west church. So we have a church there.
Oh, that's the new church. That's what's the name of the church?
Yeah. Occidental, we call.
Occidental.
It's the west. Most of the churches is the same name, mm-hmm. Mostar City Church,
yeah.
But this is the Occidental.
Okay, well, one of the things that I asked our team, tell me about what it was an experience that really touched you. That was one of them. But the other one was this, we had a VBS in a woman's home. Mm-hmm. And do you remember that? And
yes.
And she, at that time, I don't believe she was a Christian, but she opened the basement of her home. Can you tell me what's happened since then? Has anything happened with her?
Yes, she got baptized. I think they sold the home and they moved to another city. But that was a great experience, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was in Sauces Norte, crossing the river, the Sauces Norte.
Yeah.
San Manuel, something like that is the neighborhood. So that was a great time there.
Yeah, well, these neighborhoods you might think of, you know, like here, but these neighborhoods are vertical. Right?
We walk up there, huh?
We did a lot of walking. Yeah, why? So there, you know, the Andes Mountains, beautiful country, just a beautiful area. We were praying for her. I remember Teresa reminded me that there was a time there in that house as that we were doing the VBS for the children, but there were women met. And they brought their babies, and I remember holding the babies, but they met and they talked about the gospel, and she remembered asking them the question, if you were to die today, do you think you would go to heaven? Mm-hmm. And their answers to that. And then she said, you know, if you died, how do you know you could get to heaven? So just those simple questions. Do you remember being a part of that?
Absolutely. And that was maybe the second time we started doing the Vacation Bible School for kids. And we have like 7, 8 women or 10 women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and thanks for that. That opened a new ministering the moms of the kids to teach them the Bible.
So that has continued. Are some of them a part of Sauces Nortes?
Some of them. Maybe yeah. 2 or 3 of those ladies are going there.
Wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. Yeah, we've been praying for them as well. And Sauces Norte, Pastor Vicente, is he still there? Is that how's
he's
that going?
Still there. He's keeping growing and pushing. He's very evangelistic, outreaching over there. So pray, because we're trying to purchase a piece of land over there, but for some reason it's not available or become too expensive. Mm-hmm. But I see our churches, many of those, going to the second level and they gaining identity among the communities. Mm-hmm. So we have a church in Macará, who is already building. A church close to Vilcabamba is already finished their small building. And the Sauces, they have some money, but not enough. It's too expensive. So we are going in that direction. So going to properties and legal things about construction. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting too.
So we could pray for that then, sounds like. Yeah. Pastor Vicente and his family were they're very energetic, and their hearts were in that ministry. We held a service, and I believe I preached Psalm 51, and you translated. Was that in their home? Was that their home? Second floor? I don't recall.
They used to live in the other floor, but they moved. The church keep in the same place.
They keep the same place.
Yeah, but they moved there. Uh-huh. They are living.
So very humble, but people whose heart was just to reach the entire city for the gospel and no fear. Now I spoke to you a little before that Roman Catholicism is the predominant faith in the area, and you've come in as this Protestant evangelical, and there's been some tension there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I want to clarify, the Catholic Church works very different in the States than in South America or Latin America. So, for example, in Loja, the Catholic bishop called us like we're a cult. So he put us in the same level as the JWs or Mormon group. So that's become more harder than the sharing the gospel. And when we start a church, while we are in a small home Bible study yet, it's no problem. When we put a sign or rent a small place, that's when the hostility starts. Mm. So the priests threat the people who comes to the Bible studies and things like that. But after a year and a half, they get used to us.
Persistence. Okay. Well, that long suffering, that's a biblical value, yeah. Right? Persistence. Well, good. I thought it was interesting, though, because you're also, it looks like you're also teaching the evangelicals to be patient and to give grace to the Catholic Church and to those who are Catholic.
Yes. We want the people to understand that it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not my work. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit to give the conviction that you are a sinner and come a relationship. One of the hardest part is understand salvation is by grace.
Amen.
Because, you know, in a mindset, the Catholic mindset is you are saved by works. Mm-hmm. So all depends how you behave. Mm-hmm. But when you come to know the gospel, it's what God did for you. Unmerited favor he has for you. Mm-hmm. You being seen a sinner, and he is give you redemption just by his love.
Just by his love.
Nothing we can do to gain salvation. Yeah. That's the question. It's very hard for Catholic people because obedience is the outcome of the redeemed heart. You know? Obedience is not how it's taking me to be redeemed. So that is a key issue in Latin America. Mm. Understand salvation by grace, and that we are sinners.
Yeah.
Say by his grace, by his love.
Yeah. Well, that has to be, when people hear that, that is just such a weight that has to be lifted off their shoulders when the Holy Spirit reveals that.
The other time it was a couple, they make appointment with me, and I thought they want counseling. And I sit with them, and I ask them, are you going to any church? And they were attending to evangelical church, other evangelical church. And say, well, what are the issues in their marriage? And say, no, we just want to talk about the gospel. So I say, oh, okay. That was taking me by surprise. So I just share grace and justification. And this couple was 5 years in that church, and they never heard the gospel. Mm. So that was, for me, shaking. They could say, wow, what are we doing? Yeah. So I preached the gospel. They came to know the Lord that day, and that was incredible.
Yeah.
So we trying to keep the gospel every service, every time, preaching in each moment.
Yeah.
I want to share when we adopted our daughter 2 years ago. Actually, it was last week, exactly 2 years ago. Facebook remind me. So we went to the judge court that day. And, we have a lawyer, Lulu, me, and Janina, and the judge with the secretary. So the judge said, okay, this is just a formality. You have already done all the paperwork, things like that. So I raised my hand and say, I want to explain my motivation. Why we adopted. And she is a lady, maybe 50 years old, the judge. Say, okay, tell me, what is your motivation? We have time. So I started sharing the gospel, say, in the Trinity, there is only one son. We become sons of God by adoption. Huh. And say, so if I am adopted by God, how we could imitate adopting other people? And the lawyer said, oh, I talk more. In Spanish, I talk more than in English. So the lawyer hit me, said, that's enough time. And the judge, the lady, the judge says, keep going. It's the first time. So I present the gospel to her. Ooh. And say, wow, that's incredible. Say, oh, you're a pastor. So she took maybe 10 more minutes in hearing me and asking me questions. And the same, I use the illustration, God is the judge, but Jesus pay our sins. So that's maybe like all the time.
Yeah.
Keep ready to preach the gospel.
Wow. You ready?
What a story.
Yeah,
what a story.
Boldly. Well, Yeah, the Holy Spirit, it just kind of exudes from you. You know, when I was there, you increased my faith. Well, for one thing, you had me drive.
Oh, yeah.
It was necessary. But one thing I saw that you did was you were training leaders and pastors. That was your focus. And everywhere we went, there were leaders and pastors in training.
Yeah, we have a program in partnership with the other mission agency, SIM. Mm. And these men, and now women also, going to 3 years program through the Book of Romans, and has been very successful. However, we need to do more with the rural places, mm-hmm. because it's very hard for a man who is maybe 2.5 hours in the rural place come every week for a training. So we're trying to discover which ideas we have for training them. But in order to those churches keep surviving, we need to train local people there, because these are rural areas, and the rural areas, they can't afford to pay a full-time pastor. So that is what we're doing. Now we have a revival in the south of Loja, just in the border, called Macará, and they have already a church. They are building, I told you, the columns, thing like that. But they have 3 other places, and those men are doing incredible. I went to one of those villages 4 weeks ago, and I was walking, visiting door by door, and the village, walking a lot, and I saw a Catholic chapel almost coming down. And I asked the leader, says, what's going on? What happened with the Catholic chapel? And he says, well, nobody's going to the chapel. Everybody's coming to our Bible study. So I say, wow, that was... But we have to keep training those men, yes. Mentoring, coaching, encouraging, and, you know, that is taking... So our ministry now is becoming really going to the church planting, but in the middle of 2 teams, the World Venture team and the church planters team. And the World Venture, when we arrived, we were the only ones, Lulu and me. Now we have 4 families, and 3 more are raising support. So we become maybe the largest World Venture field in Latin America. But we have 12 couples as church planters. So that's, we are in the middle, and we need praying how we are going to use all these resources with all these other resources to keep expanding the kingdom.
And you're continuing your training. That's why you're in Portland.
That's the reason I came to Portland.
Yeah, you're about to finish up your Doctor of Ministry degree at Western Seminary. Is that right?
Well, not yet. I finished the classes, and now I have to do the research. So I hope next, when I come into the home assignment, to make my dissertation.
Yeah. A couple questions about Mustard Seed Church, and then Tom will have you pray for him. The church, the mother church, how many people are involved in that now?
Well, now we have 2 services, and the first service is 70 to 80 people, and the second service is 250 around.
Great. And is it involved in all of these church plants? Are they all coming out of Mustard Seed, kind of? Are they all children?
Well, like you say, maybe 80%. 80% of the coming through our... we start the church.
Yeah.
80% of the people. And so, now we have a couple from Florida. They are New Yorkers, but they are Puerto Ricans. So, and they start an English ministry. So they have every other week a service in English. And they come in like 15 people now.
Great.
Everything in English. Hmm.
So what's 1 or 2 really special prayer requests that as a church family we should be holding you up and Pastor Tom will pray for you?
Yeah. Please pray for our family. Hmm. Next year, for the transitions, we have to expecting. We're going to start. We have planned it, but immigration always could be a surprise. Hmm. So that is one of our prayer request. And the other is, financial resources for the missionary field all the time is. Yeah. And maybe with all these churches going to the second level construction, also they need some resources to keep going.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And are you going home tomorrow?
Yeah, I leave 5 in the morning from PDX.
We are so pleased that you'd give us today, this morning, and we thank you for coming.
And I appreciate because your church really has encouraging us, not just monthly, but sometimes with extra gifts and partnerships, sending the team. So we feel this is, if we are not from Baker Creek, we could say this is our home church.
Mm-hmm. Well, we love you guys, and we're proud of you. We just appreciate you. Tom, why don't you pray for Leo?
Yeah. Well, Father, I think of just all the things that have been happening with Mustard Seed and Leo and his family, training, all the things that he's involved with, and I don't know how he gets it done. So first of all, I pray for energy and focus that you'd continue to guide him by your hand and that he would respond to you. We pray for health and energy, creativity. We pray for his family, Father, that you would see fit to take care of all those immigration issues, that they would not have to be overly thought of, but that they would just be done. So that he could focus on your work. The financial piece of it, Lord, you've promised to take care of those things as you will. So we pray for those resources, financial, for them in the mission field. We pray for the resources for these churches that are building and taking their next step. People who are stepping out with courage and with risk. The pastors, their families, and all the support. We pray that you continue to raise up workers in the harvest. We pray that they would see people coming to the Lord as a response to the work that you've set before them. And we pray continued encouragement with this church and this man and his family. We thank you for them. We thank you for how he inspires us to step out. We pray that you're using him and that he has responded. And we thank you for bringing him here on this last day to speak to us about you and to glorify you. And that's what we're here for, Father. We thank you. We glorify you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Give him a big hand, will you?
Thanks.
Thanks for being here.